Praise the Lord, church. How many is excited about what God is doing around here? Praise God. I see it. Praise God. Amen. It's certainly good to see each one here tonight. It's certainly good to see some of our guests. We're so thankful that you came out tonight. Please make yourself at home. Praise God. We're ready to crank things up around here. I was thinking this just earlier today, by way of getting started. You know, David faced many battles in his life, but I recall one instance at Ziklag, just trying to build your faith and get our motor running this morning or this evening. But at Ziklag, he faced such obstacles there with his own men rose up against him. You know the story. But David, the Bible says that David began to encourage himself. And it doesn't really tell how he encouraged himself. That's where you got to put your imagination into it. But I'm thinking that as he began to look back, maybe when he fought Goliath, you know, even as a young man, he stood out. And I don't know, I'm thinking what he thought after he fought Goliath. You know, after, you know, you get that adrenaline going, you know, But I'm thinking, man, if I just fought that Goliath and defeated him, and after I got off the battlefield, I would be thinking, what in the world was I thinking to step out there against that giant? My goodness. You know, it's like, it was the Holy Ghost is what it was. You know, and I'm so thankful for that. But David, he began to recall some of the victories that he had. And I don't know about you, but I've had some great victories in my life. And sometimes I'll draw back to them. I remember that if God has done something for me in the past, if he's healed me in the past, if he's touched me in the past, I'm just a believer that he wants to do that again. If we'll just focus our attention on what God is, I believe David looked back and he saw, man, I whipped a giant. I defeated a giant with a stone. Does that not blow your mind? But he defeated that giant, but he began to look. He said, God, you're a God of the impossible. It was impossible for him to go out there and defeat that giant. But God is, when it's no longer possible for us, that's when God can step in. When the doctor says you can't get a healing, that's when God can step in. So if your faith is low tonight, I would encourage you during this service, if you've got the gift, how many's thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight? I'm thankful for that gift, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have here tonight to stir up that gift. Praise God in our worship and our praise tonight. I'm so thankful. Let's stand as our praise team comes and leads us into worship. I'm thankful for what God is. I'm ready for revival, but you know what? It can start tonight. Revival can start whenever you choose. When you begin to look back at the victories that God has given you and you begin to step out and face it, God, you've done it once, you can do it again. Hallelujah. You've empowered me once, you can bring me through this tonight. Hallelujah. Y'all worship the Lord with them as they lead us tonight.
For he is worthy to be praised. I will sing unto the Lord and bless his holy name. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I will sing unto the Lord and bless his holy name. You are magnificent, you are victorious, you are mighty, you are omnipotent, there is no one that can compare. You are holy, you are righteous, you are magnificent, you are victorious, you are mighty, you are omnipotent, there is no one that can compare. We love to bless your name. Let everybody come and bless his name. You are victorious. You are mighty. You are omnipotent. There is none that can compare. You are holy. You are righteous. You are magnificent. You are victorious. You are mighty. You are omnipotent. There is none that can compare.
Because he knew that his God was greater. I don't think there was an inch of doubt in his mind. So tonight, whatever we have to face tomorrow, let's not worry about it. Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. You are higher than any other.
can stand against. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Stand against.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Stand against. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Anybody found that to be true? He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Man, it's good being in church. God, turn to somebody and tell them you sure do look good on a Sunday night. God have mercy. Amen. No place I'd rather be on a Sunday evening in the house of the Lord with God's people. Man, we can clap our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday evening. And God is so good. Thank you for making an effort for that. Going to take our offering at this time. Just a couple of announcements to make in your hearing tonight. Of course, we are in the middle of our 21 days of prayer, at the beginning of our 21 days of prayer on our seventh day. And tomorrow begins the eighth day of our 21 days of prayer. And everyone said corporate prayer. Say it like you want a million. Say corporate prayer.
Corporate prayer.
Corporate prayer is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here in the main sanctuary. And we'll come from 7 to 8 and we'll pray. And it's not going to be per se structured. Just a season of prayer together. At the end, I may do some focused prayer. And but the whole key, the whole goal, it's school starting back and it's about getting in a routine again. And prayer is a force that hell does not want to reckon with. I promise you that. And prayer does change things.
Amen.
Amen. I can take you to about end of May this year. I got a phone call from a man, and he said, I haven't heard from this individual in so long, and I need God to give me an answer. I said, we can just pray about this and see if God won't help us out here. He called Pastor Meyer, and Pastor Meyer said, well, let's just pray about this and see if God won't answer. And 24 hours later, the man received the phone call he'd been waiting for a long time. I'm telling you, prayer can go where you can't go.
Yes.
Amen. Prayer can open a door for you. So, amen. When we come to prayer meeting, amen, I believe in getting down to business, amen, in prayer meeting. And I encourage you, come out on Monday night. And it's just twice this month during this season of prayer. And let's see the Holy Ghost do something among us. And God is trying to minister and he's trying to move. And he wants to break out among us. I believe that. Amen. And we end our season of prayer towards the end of August. And we start revival on August 24th with evangelist Jonathan Whittemore. Don't want to miss this. God's going to move in a very, very special way. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then again Sunday morning, Sunday night. And if you were here for Pentecost Sunday on June the 8th, the Holy Ghost met with us in a very special way. And I just believe God's going to do something special in these revival services. It's an old cliche, but an evangelist does not bring revival with him. The only time I've ever seen an evangelist be effective was when the body was ready. That's it. And if there's nobody there who needs the Holy Ghost, well, we can't pray through the altar or the pew bench. We got to have someone here who needs the Holy Ghost. Amen. So our goal in prayer, our goal in seeking God is to condition our hearts, condition our minds. It's not God's will for an evangelist to come in here and pluck us up. Amen. We should already be plucked up, ready to go. Amen. So we're believing God to do some things the next 21 days and then move in a very, very powerful way on the 24th of this month with evangelist Jonathan Whittemore. Also, there's a sign-up deadline for men's conference that is August the 20th. Amen. Men's conference is on September the 12th this year. And if you'd like to attend North Texas Men's Conference, it'll be a great time. But the deadline for that is the 20th, and there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Also, the 23rd of this month is men's watch night here at the church, 6 p.m., just hanging out, having some fun with our men. That's 6 p.m. at the R.L. Meyer Center. Looking forward to a great time. And, of course, on the 30th of this month, our own Sister Candy is doing our Ladies United Fellowship brunch here at the R.L. Meyer Center from 10 to 11:30. Yeah, that deserves a hand clap. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So lots of things going on, so you don't have an excuse saying we don't do enough. There's always something for us. Had a great men's breakfast yesterday. Man, if you showed up for that, I think 28 men were there. That was awesome. Thank God for that. Yeah, it was a great men's breakfast here at the church. Amen. God is doing great things among us, and we thank God for that. Amen. I'm going to take two offerings tonight. No, don't freak out on me on that. Amen. But the first offering is our regular tithe and offering. And then at the end of service, okay, once Brother Kelso's done preaching, the altar call's over, we'll take a second offering. And this second offering, we talked about this here about a month ago when all the floods happened in Central Texas. I reached out to the UPCI's branch, Reach Out America, and spoke to them again yesterday. And we're going to send them an offering. I'll give you a week to get that in. And so we'll take this offering at the end of service. And if you need a week, that's fine. Just put an IOU in the offering plate. It's fine. Or if you want to pay online, however you want to do that. But all these proceeds, 100%, will go towards flood victims and supplies, et cetera, what they need in Central Texas. Amen. We're supposed to be the arm and the feet of Jesus Christ, and sometimes we're that by giving our money. Amen. So I encourage you to give towards that tonight, and God will bless you for that. Amen. That sound pretty good? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this offering. We ask you to bless it tonight, Lord. Bless this sweet church, God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that's moving in this house. Help us, God, as we transition, God, to this last song before the preaching of the word. We pray the Holy Ghost would settle among us tonight. God, meet with us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen. Do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and say, did you know that he's in the room? Now, some of you didn't do that because you're carnal and don't want to do it. But that's all right. I'm going to try it again. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, did you know that he's in the room? And if Jesus is in the room, anything is possible. Clap your hands to the Lord.
Transform.
everything that's dead comes alive when you fill the room. God, fill the room. Chains will break and demons will run when you fill the room. You fill the room.
Every
line can be restored when you fill the room.
Begin to magnify the Lord all across this building right now, can we? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Are you glad tonight that you're in the house of the Lord, that you're in the presence of an almighty God? Are you glad tonight that you serve a God who answers prayer tonight? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight because he's worthy. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So good to see everybody here tonight on a Sunday night. Amen. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for this opportunity. Amen. A very high honor to stand behind this desk once again. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. If you have your word, I'd like to direct your attention to the book of 1 Kings. I thought he was going to preach my message this morning. So I guess I'm just going to continue on. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that'd be all right. Amen, amen. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Beginning in verse number 1, I'm going to read just a few verses of scripture. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah." Somebody say the word of the Lord. I'm glad tonight that when you get a word from the Lord, I promise you it's going to come to pass. Don't put it up on the shelf somewhere, but you can take it to the bank and cash it, because I promise you if he said it, it will come to pass. It said that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, shew thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to shew himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. It didn't start raining right then. God said, "I'm going to send rain, but I'm not going to do it right now." 1 Kings 18, skip over to verse number 41. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees," verse 43, "and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. 44 says, "And it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Can we lay our Bibles down for just a moment and ask God to have his way? God, we love you. I'm so thankful to be here in your presence. We're so thankful for what we've already felt in this house tonight. God, I ask you, Lord, that I can just be a willing and able servant for you to use. God, I surrender my voice to your authority, God. I walk before you tonight humbly, God. I pray, Lord, that you confirm your word in this house tonight, God. We give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Amen. For just a little while, I want to preach, teach, whatever you want to call it on the subject. While you're waiting for rain. Amen. While you're waiting for rain. Praise the Lord. I want to kind of back up here just a little bit. But we find in this particular story, the Bible says that Elijah makes his way to the presence of Ahab, and Ahab is ruling over Samaria at this time, and they're in a time where there is a lot of false god worship and there is a lot of sinful living going on. And the Bible says that he tells Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab. And he said, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. If you'll back up just a few chapters, I believe in chapter 17, that the Lord promises that I am going to stop the rain. There's going to be no rain. And he didn't just stop there, but he said there's not going to be any dew. Amen. It's the little things sometimes that we miss that are the most important. Amen. I'm so glad, praise the Lord, that the little things God blesses us with that we still appreciate tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the Bible says that he said, I'm going to cause the clouds to stop producing rain, and there's not going to be any dew in the morning. And so we find a period of about 3 years and a few months that goes by, and the Lord finally said, all right, it's time to go show yourself to Ahab because rain is coming. We all know the story, amen, that the Bible says that Elijah made his way to go try to find Ahab. And the Bible says that Obadiah met him in the way, and he had a conversation with him. And he said, today, certainly, I'm going to show myself, amen, to Ahab. And the Bible says that we make it to the point where Ahab meets Elijah. And Ahab simply asked him the question. He said, who are you, or are you the one that is troubling Israel? And Elijah simply tells him, I'm not the one that is causing trouble in Israel, but it is you and your father's house. Amen. Something strikes in my mind that every time we walk into this building, that the enemy tries to pop that question to you and I, what are you doing here in the house of the Lord? Amen. I don't know about you, but every time that I come into this house, I want hell to be put on notice. Amen. That I've come to worship the one true God. Amen. It don't matter if he never blesses me or heals my body again, because he's still worthy to be praised. Every time that I make it into this building, it don't matter how I feel in my body, I'm still going to give him worship and praise because he's still worthy. Amen. We all know the story, praise the Lord, that Elijah, he makes a contest, if you will, against the prophets of Baal, 450. And he said, I want you to meet me on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel was the place that was very familiar to the prophets of Baal, because this is where they would meet and they would offer their sacrifices. And he said, there's too much going back and forth. Amen. You see, this is Samaria, praise the Lord, and there are some children of God that are still here, and I don't know what people are doubting about. There's still a lot of doubt that's going on, amen, between who is the real God. Is it the God of Baal, or is it God Jehovah? And he said, we're going to settle that score here today on Mount Carmel. We know the story, amen. He said, get two bulls, praise the Lord, and build an altar and put the wood under, but put no fire. I want you to understand something today, that it was in the heat of the day, amen, that he gave the prophets of Baal the opportunity, amen, to call fire down from heaven. Amen. But the Bible said that they cut themselves, they screamed, and they tried their very best to cause fire to fall, but it never came. The Bible says that Elijah waited until the sun went down, when there was no risk of a slight spark. Amen. We all know that this was a time of a famine. Amen. There was no rain. There had been no rain for over 3 years. And I don't know about you, but just about a couple days ago, I got some pictures. There was a fire that started just down the road from my house. Just the smallest spark can start a fire when the conditions are just right. But the Bible says that no fire fell when they screamed and cried to the God of Baal. But the Bible said that Elijah waited until the sun went down, and he gathered everybody together and said, he said his small prayer. The Bible said that he began to rebuild the altar of the Lord. He began to rebuild what was broken down, and he set his sacrifice on the altar. And the Bible said that he began to dig a trench, and I began to look up the measurements, and it was like a foot wide by a foot deep. And I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to dig in ground that where it hadn't rained in 3 years? So I can imagine that Elijah just didn't build this trench real quick and dig it. I imagine he was probably sweating, and he was working. But in my mind, I can understand that he said, "I'm going to prove a point." Amen. Because when I get done with this work and we fill this trench with water, God is still going to answer by fire. The Bible said that he called for the prophets, amen, to fill the trenches with water, to cover the sacrifice with water, amen, three times over. And when water was running out of the trenches, amen, I want you to understand that before the fire fell, there had to be something that happened. The Bible said that Elijah prayed. But before he prayed, the Bible says that he gathered the people together. I believe if there is going to be a falling of fire in the house of the Lord, that there has to be some things that have to make the conditions just right. The first thing that we've got to do is get in one mind and in one accord. We can't be scattered, but we've got to get everybody together. And then there has to be some prayer that goes forth, which is why that I think that in this month, our 21 days of prayer, I believe that the Lord is getting ready to pour out a fire on the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas, like we have never seen before. The Bible mentions, amen, that he didn't scream out, he didn't holler, he didn't dance on the altar, he didn't, amen, he wasn't shouting, but the Bible says that he just prayed a simple prayer, a quiet prayer. And the Bible said that fire fell from heaven and that it consumed the sacrifice. And not only did it consume the sacrifice, but it consumed the water in the trenches around. And the Bible said that everybody knew who the one true living God was. And it was then when the Bible said that Elijah said, "Gather all the prophets of Baal and take them down by the river of Kishon and slay them there." So I want you to understand something. After the fire fell and the power of God moved and everybody is wowed, now he wants to gather all the unbelievers and he takes them down by the creek and begins to kill them one by one. And after every one of them had lost their life, the Bible said after he destroyed all the unbelievers, the Bible says that he made his way back to Mount Carmel. And it was on Mount Carmel, the Bible says, that we arrive in our text tonight, that he put his head between his knees in a praying motion and he began to pray. Because he said, "Lord, amen, in the beginning I heard a word from you that rain was going to be coming. Now, Lord, I know that you didn't prophesy about the fire falling, but Lord, I know that you proved something about making the fire fall. But God, the rain still hasn't arrived, and so I need for the rain to get here as soon as possible." I want you to understand something about Elijah, amen, that whenever he was on Mount Carmel and he called fire down from heaven, I want you to notice that he didn't pray two times. He didn't pray three times. He didn't ask God four times or five times. But whenever he prayed, God instantly answered him by fire. That is such an amazing, amen, attribute about having that kind of communication with the Lord God Almighty. Lord, I need you to heal my body right now. And all of a sudden, it's done. No question asked. Lord, I need a financial blessing. And then it happens. No question asked. Bam, right there. But then we arrive, praise the Lord, back on Mount Carmel. And now Elijah is sitting there praying. And he tells his servant, he said, listen, I'm going to pray. And he said, I want you to go, I want you to notice. He said, I want you to go and look toward the sea. If you understand tonight that where does rain come from? First, it has to appear in the sea. It has to bring its water source from somewhere. So Elijah said, I want you to go and look toward the source of where the rain should be coming. And then I want you to come back and tell me what I've already heard is already happening. Can you imagine to be the servant of Elijah, amen, as he walks toward the sea? And he begins to look, amen, with anticipation and excitement. That says, man, I'm about to get to see the biggest rain cloud. And I get to be the one that runs back and says, hey, Elijah, it's on the way. You wouldn't believe the size of the rain cloud that I see. But it's coming and it's on the way. But the Bible says he looked toward the sea. And he got to looking again and he looked again and come back and said, hey, Elijah, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but it ain't happening, man. All I see is sunny skies and clouds, and I mean, it's just wide open. There's no rain clouds, no darkness, no thunder. I don't even see wind moving. And Elijah could have given up right then. But instead, he said, hey, listen, I'm going to keep on praying here. But I'm going to need you to go again and look one more time. Amen. And so again he goes and comes back with the same news. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. Amen. And it was, I can imagine, praise God, that Elijah was sitting there on Mount Carmel. Amen. After the fifth and sixth time that he's had this report come back that hey, there's no rain clouds coming. God, I know what I heard. And I know that you told me that if I would show myself to Ahab, that rain would be on the way. And then he didn't stop there, but I can imagine that he stood up and began to look at those trenches and said, Lord, just a few hours ago I prayed and called out to you and you answered me on this hill by fire. You licked up the water that was in these trenches. And so, Lord, all I'm asking is just for you to send the rain. It was on the seventh time that we find that the servant of Elijah walked out toward the sea, and he began to squint his eyes, and he began to look, and then all of a sudden he saw a little small glimmer of hope. It was just a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. And then he ran back to Elijah and said, hey, you're not going to believe it, but out of the sea there is something coming. There's something that's starting to form, and it's about the size of a man's hand. Now it ain't very big, and it might not be very dark, but there's still a cloud that's forming in the sea. Elijah said, that's all I need. That's all I need. I want you to get down from this hill, go find Ahab and tell him to mount up his chariot because rain is on the way. There is something that I understand in my spirit tonight. And there is one thing that is 100% the truth. That the enemy cannot stop the word of the Lord. The enemy cannot stop the word of the Lord. But I tell you what he can do. He said, I might not can stop the word of the Lord, but if I can just clog the ears of those that hear the word, that's all I need to do. If I can just cause a little bit of doubt to enter into somebody's heart and say, hey, there ain't no rain coming. I know you've been praying and I know you've been fasting. I know you've been asking God for this, but it ain't coming. I'm going to tell you, it takes some dedication. Elijah said, Lord, listen, I'm not leaving here until you answer me. I'm not getting up from Mount Carmel until I hear a good report. I'm going to tell you something. It might have been 7 times, but what if it was 10? What if it was 11? I believe Elijah would have said, go back and look again. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. We have received a word from the Lord tonight. Amen. Pastor Davis preached a phenomenal message this morning. Amen. We have received a word from God not to give up. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight that the enemy is going to try his very best. It's easy to come into the place of God when the music is going and the worship is thriving. And it's easy to lift our hands and feel the Spirit of God. But when Monday morning hits and the music ain't playing and the prayer warriors ain't praying, it's easy for the enemy to whisper in your ear and say the rain cloud is not coming. I know you've been praying, but revival's not coming. I know you've been praying, but your healing's not coming. I know you've been asking God to change the results of that test, but it don't look like that they're going to change anytime soon. Somebody needs to recognize. Somebody needs to get a hold of that scripture in Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word. I said forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Some of you need to get out of bed on Monday morning, and when the enemy begins to whisper in your ear that says revival ain't coming, healing ain't coming, forever, oh Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. I said forever, oh Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. Your child ain't coming back to church. Amen. Your child ain't coming back to church. I don't care how many times you pray. I'm going to hear. Listen to me, somebody. Amen. What you need to do is you need to grab a hold of the roots of that grass and say, God, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to keep on praying until I hear a different report, until I hear a different answer, because your word is already settled. The other morning I got up, I was doing something outside, and I flipped my phone open and I looked and I said, man, it ain't gonna rain in like 3 or 4 days. I was trying to cover something up, but I said, man, it ain't gonna rain. I looked at the forecast, I was like, man, it ain't been raining in so long. So I got up next morning and I thought, so I reached over and got this little bucket of stuff, and it was uncovered. And I set it underneath the shed there, and I went on to work. And when I got to work, amen, about an hour after I got there, I walked outside, and it was pouring raining. And it was in that moment that I could begin to hear the voice of the Lord say, it don't matter what it looks like. I can still make it rain, even whatever it looks like. The rain's not on the way. I've come to tell somebody something tonight under the sound of my voice. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what the report of the world says. I know the word of God is forever settled. Look toward the sea. He said, look toward the sea. Amen. Notice he didn't say look toward the mountains. Amen. Go look toward the hills. But he said look toward the sea. Amen. Some of us have been looking in the wrong place for the answer of God. Amen. Some of us need to start looking. Amen. Looking up. Some of us need to start looking to the Lord. Amen. Because I promise you, your answer is on the way. Lord, I've been praying that rain would come. Tonight as I was getting ready, amen, I stepped outside, and man, I promise you, here in the Texas heat, you can literally step outside and start sweating. Now, I know I'm fat, okay? And y'all can look at this suit and probably tell. But I'm going to tell you right now, this Texas weather is hot. And it is rough on this fat boy, I promise you. But as I was getting ready for church, and we had a little birthday party that we had to go to before church, and we went, and I walked out of that birthday party, and I looked over, and man, all I seen was just this big old dark cloud. And you know what changed? The atmosphere began to change. It wasn't as hot as it was. You see, when rain is coming, the atmosphere begins to change. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to tell you something. We've been living in a season for too long. We've already been, we've been wiping the sweat off of our brow for way too long. I'm going to tell you something. Rain is on the way. Rain is coming because I can feel a change in the spiritual atmosphere. Rain is about to come. I'm telling you, rain is on the way. Somebody better get the umbrella out because rain is coming. I said rain is coming. In that moment that the servant of Elijah goes and he looks to the sea, amen, and he comes back and he gives a bad report. I don't see anything. Go look again. Elijah, listen, I've looked over every square inch of the sea. I have looked and I still don't see it. Go look again. I don't see it. Lord, I don't feel your presence like I used to. Keep on praying. Keep on coming to church. Amen. Maybe you sent your pastor a text. Pastor, I ain't going to be here this morning. Come anyways. Come on into the house of God. I don't feel like coming to church this morning. Come on anyways. Come on to the house of God. Come on anyways. You know why? Because the enemy is trying to keep some of us out. And I promise you, if he can keep you out of the house of God, he knows he can't stop the word of God. But if he can ever stop us from reaching our destination, if he can ever stop us from reaching our point of purpose. Keep on going. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I know this month is our month of prayer. I'm going to tell you something. I'm already seeing things that are beginning to change. And I'm so thankful for a praying church. Can you say amen? Amen. Are you thankful for a church that prays? I'm going to tell you when hell starts getting nervous, and that's when everybody starts getting together, and then everybody starts praying. That's when he really starts sweating. You know why? Because when somebody else starts getting tired, that's okay. I'll take it from here. I'll start praying. That's all right. I'm going to pray. And all of a sudden, everybody's voices are just overwhelming all the voices of doubt and despair and depression. I'm going to tell you something. If we can lift our voice in praise, God is about to send the rain. Stand with me tonight. The Bible says, Isaiah 55:10-11, it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent. Church, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing in this world that hell is trying harder right now to keep the child of God from hearing the word. How can we believe? We got to hear the word. It's where our faith is built. Got to have a preacher. Got to have the man of God. But if he can ever stop, if he can ever sever the communication line between our ears and the word, he's got us right where he wants us. Pastor preached this morning. I find that it was on Mount Carmel. The Bible says that after his servant, after Elijah's servant came and told him that he saw this small cloud the size of a man's hand. Verse 45 says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. There was a great rain. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon Elijah so great that he ran before Obadiah's chariot, Ahab's chariot, and beat him to Jezreel. The distance between Mount Carmel and Jezreel is roughly about 15 miles. And I know I can hear it, man, that's a long time, that's a long way to run. But that gives me that much more confidence that the supernatural will begin to happen whenever we just believe the word of the Lord. God, I know that maybe I might not see it tonight, but I know it's on the way. I know I may not feel the wind beginning to blow, but your word said that it's coming. I may not see in the distance the storm clouds when they rise, but Lord, I know that they're on the way. And I know that your word is forever settled. You said your word would not return unto you void. I'm telling you, the rains of revival are about to be poured out on this church. I can tell you, whenever a storm hits at my house and they start getting alerts of all different kinds of severe weather, there is one place that you will find my wife, and that is not inside the house. That is in the storm cellar. If there is just a little bit of darkness in the sky and the wind just begins to blow, she's in the storm cellar. She calls her mom and dad, it's getting bad, get down here to the house. The winds are blowing and the rain is coming and nobody's in the house but me. I just stand outside and watch it. Watch the trees blow. Every now and then I look out and see a little door of the storm cellar crack open. You can see her little eyes with a flashlight. She's looking. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I want to be in the middle of this storm of revival. I want to be saturated with the Spirit of the Lord. I want to feel the winds of the Holy Ghost as they sweep through this building. Amen. Just like that song they sang tonight, I want him to fill this room. Amen. I want you to look around and see there's empty places in this pew. I'm telling you, praise God, there's about to be some people that are going to be sitting in these places. Why? Because the rain of revival is on the way. And you know why? But I believe that because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been praying and somebody's been saying, go look again. I don't see them on the pew. Go look again. I don't see nobody. I don't see no extra cars in the parking lot. Go look again. I don't see any more visitors. Go look again. Go look again. The Bible says that Elijah went from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. Our pastor preached about that this morning. It was there when the threat of his life was made from Jezebel. God is positioning us on our Mount Carmels for our interactions in Jezreel. The enemy is going to try his very best to put a threat out on our life, because I'm telling you, if he can stop you from praying, if he can stop somebody from praying, pastor said it this morning, I just echo those words. I'm so thankful that I had a mother that prayed for me. I can remember as a young boy my mom coming into my room and laying her hands across my bed and praying. I'm so thankful that those prayers are still being heard today. I'm going to tell you something, church. Don't stop looking. While you're waiting on the rain, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping. Lord, I don't see an answer coming. Keep on worshiping. Keep on coming to church. Lord, I don't feel my body getting any better. Keep on praising God. Keep on worshiping. Keep on magnifying God. I don't see my family getting saved anytime soon. Keep on praying. I bind that voice from hell in the name of Jesus. I said, I bind that voice from hell in the name of Jesus. His word is forever settled in heaven. Lift your hand all across this building tonight. Amen. As my pastor comes and takes this microphone, praise the Lord. Why don't we just begin to cry out to the Lord tonight for just a moment? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Come on, why don't we gather around the front tonight? Let's find a place to pray. You can stand, you can kneel. Amen. But I want us to pray in anticipation as this praise team begins to sing and leads us back into a season of worship tonight. Come on, church. God, I pray right now, help us, Holy Ghost, not to get weary in well-doing, God, but help us, oh God, to press. Let it rain, Jesus. Come on, somebody, cry out to him tonight. Cry out to him tonight.
Let it rain.
your hands to heaven right now. Come on, the Lord heard your prayer the first time. Come on, somebody. While we're waiting, God, we'll be praising. While we're waiting, God, we'll be worshiping. While we're waiting, God, we'll be thanking you in advance. Woo. Come on, I feel the Lord trying to sweep up in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We said it Wednesday night. The Bible says that Daniel prayed, trying to get an answer. And the Bible said for 21 days, he waited, he prayed, he fasted. And on that 21st day, the Lord did come to Daniel and he did speak through the angel. But the angel said to him on that 21st day, Daniel, we heard your prayer the first time, but the prince of Persia withstood us. That is why we have been in a war. We have been in a battle trying to get to you because something wants to stop whatever it is that you're trying to get through to tonight. Hear me, somebody, right now. I'm telling you, I don't have time for this. I felt it last Wednesday night. I feel it again tonight. But there will be. I know. I'll preach about it in the future. But there will be spiritual warfare that comes to your life this week because the enemy, he does not like anybody or anything trying to get traction in the spirit. And when you start moving, when you start going forward, it's like a hammer hitting against a wall and trying to break loose. He will push back. He will do all he can to stop you. That's why I tell you, prepare yourself tonight, but get in battle mode because the Lord's fixing to break loose in this house. But he cannot break forth until you break out, until you make up in your mind, I'm going to push, I'm going to press, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get whatever it is I came for, Lord. Somebody help me pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every spirit of doubt and fear. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. There will be a release in this house. There will be a breakthrough in this house. In the name of Jesus, there will be walls that fall in this house. There will be backsliders that come home. In the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of false religion. I speak life. I speak dominion. I speak authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not go into detail, but 2:40, last Sunday night, had something happen to me that hasn't happened in almost 17 years. When the adversary walked up in my house, and I'm telling you, from 2:45 that morning until midnight the next night, I could not sleep. But I knew it wasn't by accident because we started prayer on that Tuesday morning. I knew the adversary was doing all he could to stop out, to try to stop what God wants to do. And it's not to do with me. I just know he'll always try to attack the head before he gets to the body. But I've come to withstand and defy that spirit that would try to stop. This body will go forward. This body will, I'm telling you, you have not even seen the half of what God's going to do up in this room. God's going to blow your mind in the next 6 months. If you'll just get in tune with God. If you'll just get in sync with God. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kelso, for that word. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. It pays to wait. Good things come to those that wait on the Lord. Amen. Keep on waiting. Keep on praying. Amen. One more time. Everyone said Monday night.